Again, what a pleasure it is to see you this morning. I look forward to sharing God's word. We're going to read out of Hebrews chapter 11. If you would like to turn there or turn your phone on, most of these verses will be on the screen. When I finish preaching this morning, I'm going to slip out. I'm also preaching over at Salem United Methodist this morning. We're partnering with them. We're providing leadership, and we have a rotation of about six different individuals who go out there and preach at Salem. So pray for that church this morning and in your prayers that God will do a fresh new thing for them and use us to help. Also, I guess you noticed the heat is working this morning, first time in several weeks. I thank all of you for being gracious and giving extra. That was about a $54,000 hit on both units going out at the same time. And one other thing I want to mention, that the last two Sundays, our service is going live. We're live streaming it. And I want to thank Jason Friend back there. He's putting this out. Over 1,000 people each Sunday the last has clicked on to this service. I think this is probably our greatest form of advertisement. I mean, not all, some of those maybe just clicked on and then right off, but many of them are listening, watching. So I'm thankful for the capabilities that some people are looking. They're looking for answers, and let's pray that as they view what's going on here, that the Spirit of the living God will just move and touch them and help them at their point of need. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read verses 8 through 12 and then 17 through 19 as we talk this morning about walking into God's purpose, and we're going to be looking at Abraham's strong faith. Some people, as we talked last week, will walk around the fringes of God's purpose. They'll think about entering in. They may have a desire to step in, but they're just constantly walking around the fringes of God's plan, his purpose. Some people intentionally walk away from God's purpose. And then there are some, like we saw last week, Ruth walked right into God's purpose. And Abraham walked right into God's purpose. Next week, we're going to look at Moses. So you can be reading ahead if you want to and study the life of Moses. We're going to see how Moses also walked right into God's purpose. So let's read together from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 12, and then 17 through 19. I'm reading from the New International Version. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward. Let that phrase resonate in your spirit this morning. Abraham was looking forward. When we say I'm looking forward to something, we may talk like, well, I'm excited about what might be happening. But looking forward means we're not looking backwards, doesn't it? We're looking forward. We're forgetting what's behind, and we're looking forward. We're pressing onward and upward. Abraham, in faith, he looked forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Verse 11, and by faith even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Look at verse 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. God always blesses his word. Somebody say amen to that. We'll get forward. We'll go forward this morning. Lord, we bless your holy name. May your spirit right now have your way. Let me say what I need to say. Hide me behind the cross. Oh, Lord, we give you thanks for the wondrous cross this morning. That everyone who looks up to Christ will be redeemed, will be saved, and we'll walk into that purpose. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, the very thoughts that we think be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The central theme in these verses that we read this morning is the resurrection power of God in the life of people who believe. The resurrection power of God in the life of believers. I don't know about you, but I want to experience that kind of power. We're talking about resurrection power, the power that raised the dead body of Jesus. In this passage, we're looking at how a man believed the promise, and that kind of power was made available, the power to believe. Paul said it like this in Philippians when he was writing to the church in Philippi. He said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you believe that it's possible this morning, 2020, to experience and to know the power of God in our lives? Well, the Bible is very clear. If we believe, we can experience that power. Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead, but yet they had a son because they accepted the promises of God. And Isaac was as good as dead. Abraham had him on the altar, ready to sacrifice him. But symbolically, he was raised back to life. The power of Jesus is available today for each of us. And it's by faith. It's all by faith, so that grace can have its work in our lives. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talked about how Jesus died for our sins, and that on the third day he was resurrected, and that in Adam we all are going to die, but in Christ we all will live. That's resurrection power. You believe this morning that that power, that resurrection power is available? Hebrews 11, 6, we didn't back up and read that verse, but it simply says, if you want to please God, if anybody wants to please God, you have to do two things. You have to believe that he is. And you have to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we want to believe this morning in that resurrection power, the power to lift us up, the power to offer the kind of positive change that we need, the power to give us life. And we have to believe that God wants to do that. It's available for those who this morning will honestly, earnestly seek him, seek his plan, seek his purpose, to say, Lord, I want to be like Ruth. Now, Ruth, last week we saw she died, and she didn't know what all was coming. She didn't know that that little child that she had birthed was going to be the grandfather of King David, and that David was in the lineage of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. But she just stepped right into God's plan. So let's do that this morning. Let's step into God's plan, because we don't know what he has made available for us through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, there's two thoughts, two key thoughts we're going to look at this morning. One, we need to have faith to receive the promises of God. We need to have faith to receive the promise. And the second key thought is that we need to have faith to surrender the blessing, to surrender what God gives us back to him. So let's talk about those two key points as we go through this passage in Hebrews. If you will, look in verse 11 and 12. This is the story of Abraham and Sarah. Verse 11 and 12, it says that even by faith, Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. If we were to put Sarah's faith on a scale of 1 to 10, at this point, it'd be a 0. Sarah had trouble believing. The promise of God came to Abraham that he was going to have a child. And then there was a long wait, long silence. And Sarah, after about 10 years of silence, no child, Sarah came up with another plan. Sarah said, well, since I I'm not pregnant, and it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to have a child. I've got this maid. I've got Hagar, this slave maid. Abraham, why don't you take her? And maybe God's going to give a child through her because she's my maid. And Abraham consented, and there was a child born, and they named him Ishmael because that was done out of faith. She quit trusting in the promise that God said, you're going to have a child. And let me tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, anytime we try and solve a problem and we do it out of faith, the problem's just going to get bigger, isn't it? That's why we need to just trust God and listen to his advice and listen to his counsel and do what he asks us to do. Because if we solve it in our own common sense, the problem's just not going to get solved. It's going to get bigger. The Bible tells the truth about people, warts and all. You've heard that saying before. You think about Moses. We're going to talk about Moses and his temper. He had a bad temper. We're going to talk about the Bible lets us know Moses had that problem. The Bible tells us all about David and his adultery because the Bible speaks the truth about individuals. The Bible tells us all about Peter's denying the Lord and even cursed and said, I don't know him. The Bible tells us all about Thomas and how Thomas doubted. Thomas said, I will not believe. I won't believe that Jesus is alive unless I can see, unless I can put my fingers right here in his nail-scarred hands and put my fist in his side. I won't believe. The Bible tells it like it is, warts and all. One of the things we need to understand this morning from God's word as we talk about his gracious plan is that he forgives our sins, just like he forgave those that we just mentioned, if we'll in repentance look to him. But in the governance of God, we're going to reap what we sow. That's just a fact of life. We will reap what we sow. And Sarah and Abraham began to reap what they sowed. And in chapter 18 of Genesis, the Lord came and spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, about this time next year, I'm going to visit you because you're going to have that child. And Sarah is in the tent listening, and Sarah overhears the conversation that Abraham had with the Lord. And you know what happened? You know what Sarah did then? This is what she did. She laughed. She laughed, and she said, "Boy, I'm an old barren woman. I think I'm going to have a child?" And she laughed. And then the Lord said to Abraham, your wife laughed. And here Sarah stands. She said, no. And then she lied about laughing. She had a hard time walking by faith and trusting, but yet she's right here because listen, child of God, God's promises, because sometimes we get on the back burner and we walk away and we don't trust him like we should, his plan is going to keep right on working out, and his purpose for this world is going to keep right on moving forward. That's why we need to repent, and we need to say, Lord, I'm going to get right involved, right in the center of your will, right where you want me to get. Now, in Romans chapter 4, I want to invite you, if you got your Bibles with you or you got them turned on, click on Romans chapter 4. This is the parallel passage to this story about Abraham and Sarah. I want us to look at a couple of verses in Romans chapter 4. Verse 21 says that Abraham, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. There's that key word, the promise. Do you believe this morning that God is fully able to do what he's promised for you? Abraham believed that. And Abraham was rewarded. Because he believed in the promise. The promise first came in Genesis chapter 12. As I mentioned, there was a long waiting period of waiting for God's promise to be fulfilled. Look up in verse 13. It says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise. It's not through the law that you and I get in on God's goodness. The next two verses go on to mention how the law just simply brings wrath. The law simply lets us know that we need God's help, that we can't make it without him. And that's where grace comes in. God gives us faith to believe. the link between God's power and our poverty are the promises of God. God's all-powerful, and he is able, and he can do and will do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can think or imagine, according to his power that's working in us. So the link that we must choose to believe is simply putting our faith in God's promises and believing that he is able and he is willing to help us. Look at verse 16. Therefore, the promise, about five times in this chapter, the word the promise is mentioned. God's promise to us. The promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace. Don't trust your faith this morning. We get in trouble when we start putting faith in faith. Don't put your faith in your faith. Don't put your faith in yourself. Put your faith in God's promises. Trust God. Because the promises of God are faithful because the God of the promise is faithful. God is faithful and he has never, ever changed. He says, even if you're faithless, in 2 Timothy, he said, I don't change, I remain faithful. So in verse 18, 17 and 18, it says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Do you believe this morning? Do you have faith to receive the promise that God is able to bring life out of death, to give a man and a woman who were at the time of birth about 100 and about 90, a child that's in the lineage of our Messiah, Jesus Christ? Abraham and Sarah finally believed that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. They received the promise. Receive the blessings that God has for you this morning. Receive the promise, the gift of life, the gift of the privilege of knowing Christ and knowing his plan and walking into his plan. Leaving here this morning with our heads held high and giving God thanks that he is able, and it does not matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter what happens to denominations, because God always has a remnant that's going to survive and produce and be the church that God wants us to be. All that matters this morning is that we as the people of God remain faithful to the promise. And we say, okay, God, I'm going to believe you and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you ask me to do. As I mentioned Wednesday night, it's not what we need to do as far as either saying, well, I'm on the liberal progressive side of the church or I'm on the traditional evangelical side of the church. What I want us to do, and here's where I'm making my stand, is I want to be on God's side. Whatever God asks me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And I pray that he'll give me good sense to be able to listen and to do what he asks me to do. Because then he says, I will grow my church. But what do? We have to receive his gift. We have to receive his promise. We have to say, Lord, I believe. I believe that you raise life out of death. You took Abraham and Sarah and you started a nation that you said you would bless all of the world, all the peoples of the nations through this man and through his wife. And you did that through Isaac and Abraham and Jacob. So, Lord, I want to believe and I want to receive the promise. That's where we start. That's not where we end. The second part of this passage, and I want you to look in verse 17 through 19 of chapter 11, we have to be willing to give back the blessing. God's blessed us so many ways. Just take a moment to think about how God's blessed you, given you life, given you everlasting life. We give him thanks for his plan for covering our families and blessing us and being part of a healthy church that's growing. We have to be willing to give back to God what he gives us. Let's look at verse 17 through 19, chapter 11, then we'll close. By faith, Abraham. See, it all began by faith. Abraham didn't know where he was going, and Abraham didn't know when the promised child was coming. He was just totally operating in faith. God asked us to to step out and walk by faith. He didn't know where, he didn't know when. He just knew that God said, go. And the Bible tells us in chapter 12, he got up and went. And now the next part of this verse in verse 17 says, God tested him. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, has God tested your faith? A faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And God will test us to see if our faith is real. Common sense would have told Abraham and Sarah to offer Ishmael. Ishmael was the child brought forth from the slave girl, Hagar. Common sense would have said, Abraham, surely God meant Ishmael, not Isaac. Offer Ishmael as a sacrifice. Ishmael was the problem. Ishmael was the child of the flesh. Ishmael was the child of unbelief. Surely, Abraham, God meant to offer Ishmael, not Isaac. Ishmael's the problem. Isaac's the promise. Surely you're not thinking clearly, Abraham. God would never ask you to offer Isaac, the child of the promise. God tested his faith. Why would God ask Abraham to give back Isaac, the seed, the child of the promise, the one that God said, through your seed, Abraham, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. But yet now God's saying, offer Isaac back. Sometimes if we're not careful, a blessing can become a curse. A blessing can even turn into an idol if we're not willing to give it back to God. Everything that was important to Abraham was wrapped up in Isaac. His faith. Abraham, he had received the promise by faith and that God was going to bless through the child of this covenant. His hope was wrapped up in Isaac. His hope that all the nation, God had made a promise, all the peoples of the world are going to be blessed through you and your seed, Abraham. His love was wrapped up in this child because God said in chapter 22, said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, the one you love, Isaac. So there's no mistake. Isaac, the one you love. It was the child he loved. His hope, his faith was all wrapped up in Isaac. But yet this is the one God says, offer your son. And here's what's important to me this morning. If we're not willing to give God back what he's given us, and we're not fully following. We have to live with our hands off, don't we? What could that Isaac be in your life that God has said, okay, I've blessed you. Your life's been anointed. You're walking in my plans. You're walking in my purpose. But now I'm asking you to go a little deeper and take your hands off everything. Give me your Isaac. What could that be for us? In John chapter 12, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Jesus is using the example of a seed. You keep a seed in your hand, you don't have anything but one seed. But you plant that seed in the earth, you give it away, and it's going to produce many seeds. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. If you love your life in this world, he said, you can have it. But you got to reach a point where you despise your life as it is now so that you can fully give yourself to me so that you can have life everlasting. God said, Abraham, I want you to offer Isaac, the son you love. Offer him on Mount Moriah. And as Abraham was taking his son, Isaac, to offer him as a sacrifice, I'm sure that Abraham said, God, are you sure? You promised me that, because you called me outside of my tent one day and you said, look up at the stars and count them if you can. And you said that your seed are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Are you sure, God, this is what you're asking? And maybe the next day, as he was almost to Mount Moriah, some wind blew some sand up in his face. And he was reminded, Lord, you told me that my descendants were going to be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Are you sure, God? God said, yes, Abraham, I want you to offer Isaac. So Abraham takes his son. They leave their servants. They climb Mount Moriah. And his son, most people say he's about 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. Isaac says, Papa, you got the fire in your hand and I got the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, son, I'm sure he had to swallow hard. Son, God's going to provide the sacrifice. And they get up on Mount Moriah. And Abraham prepares the sacrifice with the wood. And then he lays his son, Isaac, on the altar. And he binds him up. And he takes the knife back, ready to offer his only son as a sacrifice because he's doing exactly what God's told him to do. And then the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham, stop. I see now. I see how much you love me and that you're going to follow me the last inch of the way. And then Abraham heard the ram caught over in the bushes, and Abraham went and got the ram and put it on the altar. And Abraham said, the Lord is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And God said, Abraham, because you trusted me, you walked with me the last inch of the way. Your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. I don't know about you, but every time I read that story, I'm reminded, am I willing to lay my all on the altar? Am I willing to put everything on the altar so that then God can say, okay, I just want to see if you would. God gives us the promise. He gives us the blessing. He gives us life. And then he says, okay, are you willing to give back to me everything that's important so that I can continue to bless you? I want us to pray together. I'm going to ask our praise band to come up. And as I said earlier, I'm going to slip out and head over and try and preach again at Salem. As we are praying and as we're singing our last song, I sense the presence of the Lord in this place this morning. He is here. Is there someone who needs to receive the promise? Lord, I need to take you up on your offer. I believe and I want to accept who you are and what you've got for me. And I'm sure there are others this morning who, convicted by the Spirit, said, Lord, I need to take my hands off and give you my Isaac. Because, Lord, I want you to be most important. I want you to be everything in my life so that you can continue to bless and take care of and help us. Lord, we're needy people, but you're a great God. There's not one person here this morning that you can't lift out of the pit and put a new song in our heart and point us in the right direction and lead us. Path of everlasting life. Well, Lord, we have to believe. We have to trust you. So, Lord, you're here calling us out of a life of darkness and death into a life of joy and life. Give us grace to receive. And then, Lord, help us to truly live by faith and turn it all back over to you and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever, I'll do it, Lord. I give you my all. I give you my life. I give you everything that's important to me because I trust you. Because, Lord, you have the plan. You know what's going to be happening. May we walk into God's plan just as Abraham did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Teresa, lead us.